Hello, I'm Eric Holdeman, and this is Disaster Zone, a podcast about emergencies and disasters. Disaster Zone will bring you interviews and commentaries about all aspects of disasters, from what causes them to how people and organizations are dealing with their impact. Most organizations have access to incredibly powerful technologies, but struggle to use them to their full potential. Bent Ears team of experienced technology and operations professionals systematically help organizations get the most out of the technology they already own. You can find them at www.BentEarSolutions.com. Welcome to the Disaster Zone podcast. I'm Eric Holdeman, your host. With me today is Jonathan Porter, who is AccuWeather Senior Vice President, Weather Content and Forecast Operations, and Chief Meteorologist. Since everybody talks about the weather, that is our topic today with a leader in commercial weather forecasting business. Please join me in welcoming Jonathan Porter to the Disaster Zone podcast.
Eric, good to be with you.
And Jonathan, we already established that I'll just call you John going forward here. And I always ask people about their background and that, but many times I will say something like, emergency managers had no idea what they were going to do when they were in the fourth grade, or it certainly wasn't emergency management. You evidently did. So how did you come to the idea of becoming a meteorologist back then, and what motivated you, and what's your education background up until now?
Well, I certainly knew from a young age I was, as we say, bit by the weather interest. This is the case for many, not all meteorologists, but many meteorologists have gained that interest early in their life, and that was the case for me. I grew up in Eastern Connecticut, where we have all kinds of interesting weather, ranging from snowstorms to hurricanes, severe thunderstorms, occasionally tornadoes, ice storms, big wind events, the list goes on and on. But for me, it was the snow. I got really interested in everything about snow and then eventually forecasting snow. So around the fourth grade is when I really decided that meteorology was what I wanted to pursue growing up. And I was inspired by many of the local TV meteorologists that I watched in Southern New England, Bruce Schwegler and Brad Field. And my parents cultivated that interest as well in meteorology as I grew up and got involved. I started my TV career doing the morning video announcements at my intermediate school. So when I was in fifth grade, I started forecasting and broadcasting the weather daily. From there, it's just passion really continued to grow and led me to Penn State, where I earned my meteorology degree and information technology minor. And then it's interesting, I always wanted to do TV, did a lot of TV at Penn State, as I mentioned, and elsewhere. And I was lucky to have some offers from local TV stations in different parts of the country when I graduated from Penn State. But I was also being actively recruited by AccuWeather, where I had an opportunity to blend my information technology skills with my meteorology background and do broadcasting. That was 20 years ago, and that was the best decision I ever made because I've had a tremendous career here at AccuWeather and served in many different parts of our business and been on the front lines of saving lives, protecting property around the world, and helping you people make the best weather decisions. And that's been a real culmination of all that interest I had from a young age.
Okay, and you're not that old yet. There may be gray hair, but I think you're not that old yet.
That's right.
You'll be doing this for a long time to come.
Right.
John, when I was in the Army as an infantry officer, every operations order written had a section on the weather because of its importance. And, you know, I was trying to train my staff in emergency management about this, and I had one staff challenged me and said, well, if it's a bright, sunny, 70-degree day, why would you talk about the weather? Well, because then you know it's a bright, sunny, 70-degree, and what the forecast is going to be for a period of time. The weather is always important. And I just recently read this. If you are in business today, Weather simply must be a factor in your contingency planning. So each year, the Global Risk Report of the World Economic Forum ranks severe weather as the number one risk to business globally, illustrating the urgency for severe weather safety action plans. How do you see weather fitting into a business's risk management process?
Well, Eric, as you said, weather is critical. And as we see increasing severe weather impacts driven by climate change and other factors from a global perspective, businesses are getting impacted more and more each and every year by a wide variety of weather impacts, both here in the United States and then globally from a supply chain perspective and so many other different aspects of their business. So, business leaders today recognize that they must have a weather risk mitigation plan and that it's a key part of their operational planning, their business continuity, and their safety program, as well as ensuring that they're limiting their liability and keeping their employees and customers best protected against those severe weather impacts. It's interesting, when I talk with business leaders today, the constant theme that I hear that reinforces the point you made about that Global Economic Forum report, which is very important. That point I hear is, many business leaders feel emergency managers and safety executives within businesses feel that they are oftentimes being talked to about and hearing about cyber risks and physical violence risks. And pandemic risks and things of that nature. And while those are all very important risks that businesses need to think about, they tell me that we're constantly getting hammered by weather every day in different parts of the world. And certainly that ties into the urgency and the importance of understanding, as you said, what the weather impacts are going to be. They could be positive to your business, or they could be negative in any given day or any given hour and in any given location. You've got to have the best intelligence so that you can make the best decisions and ensure you're best prepared. So business leaders recognize that, and certainly reports like the Global Risks Report from the World Economic Forum help to reinforce the critical importance of extreme weather planning and risk mitigation.
And so for a business, I mean, we've got what's the weather going to be today? But for businesses, what have you found them to be interested in? Is it a week out? Are they looking even longer term beyond, if you will, immediate operational period, or what's their interest?
Well, the answer there is yes to all, and it really depends on the specific type of business, their operations, what type part of the world they're operating in, and what their specific concerns are. And that's the power that AccuWeather brings to various businesses that we partner with, is the ability to customize and hone in our superior forecasts and warnings to their specific needs, their criteria, their locations around the world. And as Eric, as you point out, sometimes that's understanding what's ahead in the next 2 months, what's ahead in the next 6 months that I need to be concerned about from a extreme weather risks perspective or from a general planning perspective. Where do you think the unusual or disruptive weather is going to be? All the way down to, let me understand what where the risks are over the next 2 to 3 days, so I have as much advance notice on impending weather events so that I can get ahead of other people, get ahead of what severe weather events are going to be occurring, stage resources, deploy teams in the right areas, and then, of course, right down to when it's time to take immediate action, and that is providing our superior warnings with proven accuracy and more advanced notice than any other source to help businesses and other organizations get people to safe shelter. For example, in advance of a tornado, a damaging wind situation, a flash flooding event, a blizzard. So our insights play across all those different timescales that you talked about, and many of our corporate customers, and we have many that we partner with. AccuWeather partners with half the Fortune 500s and thousands of other companies around the world. Many of them use our insights at all those different timescales that you talked about, all customized to their specific needs.
Okay, so you really do tailor to the needs
Oh,
of the
absolutely.
specific customer.
Yep,
Okay.
that's so critical.
Yeah. All right. Well, typically the natural connection for governments, and I have a lot of emergency managers who listen to this. There's a close alignment between emergency management and National Weather Service and their local regional offices. I'm a bit of a weather tear here. I had a National Weather Service officer for the Portland, Oregon area on recently. Talk about. So how does AccuWeather fit into that mix with government, or as noted earlier, with businesses? And I recall I had a good friend who was a Whatcom County. That's the most northwest county in the contiguous 48 states here. And I remember talking to him. He actually contracted with someone. I don't know whether it's AccuWeather or another service. To get more specific weather information for Whatcom County because of the proximity to Fraser River Valley and weather systems that would come out of there. So it does happen. So, how do you see that connection with government, or as you noted earlier, with businesses and what you do versus the National Weather Service, for instance?
Right. Well, first, I think it's important to point out that we partner with the National Weather Service very strong. We have a very strong partnership with the National Weather Service. AccuWeather was one of the first Weather Ready Nation ambassadors, and we won. We're highlighted in a specific national award, one of only two national awards last year as Weather Ready Nation Ambassador of the Year by the National Weather Service for our commitment to the Weather Ready Nation program to help ensure that people and businesses are prepared and are as resilient to severe weather risks as they can be. So where AccuWeather comes in is that we strongly complement and extend the value of the basic information that's been being provided by the National Weather Service in the interest of public safety and hone that in for our customer, whether that customer is a business, as we talked about, a state or local government, and being able to really focus our content, our superior forecasts that provide more advanced notice, greater accuracy, more localization, all tailored and specific around their needs. And different businesses have a wide variety of needs that make that very critical. For example, if you're a crane operator, you might be very susceptible to wind gusts of 25 miles per hour. Or if you're a live event concert promoter, you may want to be worried about wind gusts of 20 miles per hour because you have elevated equipment that is a far different risk profile than the general public. And that's where that information, that's one of the aspects that's very valuable. The other thing too is it's oftentimes not only being able to provide that more accurate, more localized, more tailored forecast around the specific needs that a customer has, but we can often let our business and other customers know when there's not going to be a specific impact at their operation. So where that comes in is we partner with dozens of medical systems and certainly hundreds of hospitals around the country. Oftentimes we're able to say, although there's a National Weather Service tornado warning for a part of the county that the facility is located in, AccuWeather storm warning meteorologists are not assessing a risk in the next 30 minutes at their specific hospital. That's critically important because then the hospital does not need to interrupt its normal operations. It does not need to shelter, for example, employees and visitors, does not need to move patients that might be in intensive care into the hallway, which can be a risky operation in and of itself. So that's just a couple of examples of where that can be really critical, in addition to the fact of providing that greater advance notice that we provide, and of course, the more accurate forecast. Take, for example, on tornado warnings, AccuWeather storm warning meteorologists prepare our own tornado warnings independent of what the National Weather Service provides. Of course, we are looking at what the National Weather Service provides, and we can comment on those for our customers. But on average, we provide an advance notice of 16 minutes for tornadoes versus the 8 that's provided by the National Weather Service. And that's just the average. So sometimes we may issue a warning when there is no other warning provided, a life-saving warning from AccuWeather when there is no warning provided from any other source. Other times we might provide 30 minutes and other sources only a couple of minutes. So that is a key aspect of the service that we provide. and the ability to really hone in on the specific locations where our customers are operating at.
Okay, I listen to you talk there. I was just wondering, would pinpoint be too strong a word to use, or?
No, it's a great word. Pinpointing down right to the facilities, to the street address of the asset, and helping to understand what are the specific threats that are expected there. And then, of course, Eric, too, what are the time intervals where you need to make a decision? You know from your background in emergency management that when, for example, you are responsible for the safety of 35,000 people at a college campus, a university campus, for example, you need more advance notice than somebody who just needs to move their own family individually to safe shelter. So that's another example of where we can tailor our entire weather risk mitigation program around the specific needs of our customer against each of those different weather parameters. And that is a very consultative and collaborative process that we over time continue to refine with our customers so that they've got the very best insights so that at the end of the day, they can make the best decision. And that is what this is all about. You can have the best forecast and the best warning, but if it isn't communicated in a way that the decision maker can use to make that best decision, that then take action to keep people safe, well, then it doesn't have value. And that's why we spend so much time in helping to make sure we're providing the most useful information so that our customers can make the best decisions and keep people safe and reduce their liability and risk as well.
Yeah, we're going to talk more specifically about warnings in the second half of the podcast. But you are right. I always say, if first of all, you have to detect it, then you need to issue a warning. But the most important piece of all of that is that people actually take action on the warning. So that can be a challenge sometimes. Well, you know, I noted, John, in your mission statement, you alluded to it. You stated it already, and similar to many emergency management mission statements, our mission is to save lives and protect property. How about just commenting on the mission statement? It aligns exactly with many, many emergency management mission statements.
It sure does. That's such a great point that you make, Eric. And when I talk with emergency managers, that's oftentimes what they mention to me as well. And I talk about that because we have the emergency AccuWeather and the emergency management community. We have what I like to refer to as a shared public service mission. And it's our passion. That's what we do here at AccuWeather. It's in our DNA. Nothing brings us more happiness and more satisfaction than when we help to directly save somebody's life or we help them to be more prepared for a severe weather event. And we get those notes, we get those emails from our business customers and from the consumers that rely on AccuWeather services all around the world. And it brings us such great satisfaction. But it's the same thing that you, as an emergency manager, are wanting to do as well. And when you go home and you have that feeling that you helped somebody either be more resilient, more prepared, or you helped save their life or reduce the risk for bodily injury or serious injury, that's a great feeling. And that's what drives us to continue to expand our impact and to partner with even more businesses and local governments so that we can have that impact. And when you look at at what's happening in the world from the increasing frequency of severe weather events happening at times of the year and in places that people are not expecting, tornado events right in the middle of December or January, all the way up into the Great Lakes states. That's what people who are not prepared, they're being caught off guard. That's why it's so important for us all to work together to help spread the message about what type of risks that we're anticipating. And then, of course, help make sure the best protocols are in place so that when there is immediate danger in communities, people know how to seek safe shelter. They know what that means as a business and as a family, and they can take the actions that they need in order to protect themselves or their family. But you hit on a very key point. That mission is very aligned, and it is the reason that we are so passionate about getting every little detail of that forecast right, every little detail of how we best communicated a weather impact, because we know what's at stake, and we have the opportunity each and every day we come into work here at AccuWeather to save someone's life and help them make the best decision. And that's what we're so excited about.
Okay. Well, John, I'm sure the listeners here know your passion for the weather and your mission statement, it just oozes out of you. So you're a good spokesman for what you do personally, but then also AccuWeather. Well, the thing I've wondered about is, and you talked about working partnership with the National Weather Service. What are the meteorological sources you use to refine those forecasts and tailor them to, an individual or perhaps multinational business?
Well, that's a great question. And it starts with the world's largest foundation of real-time data that AccuWeather has acquired from governments and other partners all over the world. So weather information is interesting. There's a basic amount of weather information that is exchanged between the countries in order to be able to, you need to know what's going on from the perspective all around the world in order to be able to make a weather forecast for any one location. So countries work together through the United Nations World Meteorological Organization to exchange a basic level of weather for weather content. That's observations, that's upper air observations, surface observations, basic computer forecast guidance around the world. And certainly AccuWeather has access to all of that data. But much more than that, we've gone out and built partnerships. That's one of the things that I've been lucky to be involved in my career, building partnerships with governments all over the world to gain access to even higher resolution foundational data, radar, satellites, real-time lightning, air quality, air pollution data, ground observations. So what we've amassed here over recent decades is that largest set of data that we bring in to AccuWeather's gigantic enterprise information technology infrastructure in our SWIFT system, our digital forecast system that AccuWeather has developed and refined over decades. So all of that information, including more than 190 computer forecast models that our systems intelligently weight and balance in order to arrive at the most accurate forecast all around the globe, is our starting point for our forecast. But then we layer on top of that the expertise of our team, our over 100 expert meteorologists, some of the world's most talented weather forecasters, people who have been looking at the weather each and every day for, in some cases, more than 50 years, to be able to add that extra special layer of accuracy, advance notice, precision, and communication to the forecast. And we bring that all together in real time, constantly looking at making sure our forecast is the most useful, most accurate in all locations around the world, with a special focus, of course, on where extreme weather is going on. And we have some really passionate debates. Meteorologists are, we get into the weather, as you could imagine, okay? And so we'll have some detailed debates where we like to say we fuss over every word of our forecast to make sure that it's as accurate and it's as helpful to people. And that's a key point, because we spend so much time not only on that most accurate forecast, proven most accurate forecast that we have all over at locations all over the world, but also in the communication. So take, for example, when we had a tropical rainstorm Ida move up into the northeastern United States a couple of years ago and produce all that catastrophic, deadly, lethal flash flooding across parts of Pennsylvania, New York, and also into southern New England. We, for days in advance, not only were forecasting the most accurate amount of rainfall in those areas, 4 to 8 inches of rain, but we specifically communicated in our forecast that it was going to come fast and furious and that lethal flooding would ensue. So that we were not only providing that most accurate forecast, but communicating what we expected the impact to be. Time and time again, we have seen that to be the case. Take what we did with Hurricane Ian across the southwest coast of Florida, where we had been warning for days in advance about the storm surge risk in the Fort Myers and Naples area. AccuWeather was the only source that was forecasting a storm surge of 16 to 20 feet. And of course, we know an 18-foot storm surge occurred there. So we were communicating, not only we had the highest forecast, the most accurate forecast for storm surge versus any other source, including the government, but we were communicating that deadly threat of the flash of that storm surge and how much of a risk that was going to be. We got feedback from users in the area that told us that stressing that was so critical to the life-saving decisions that they made. So those are just a couple of examples of the unique blend, the superior blend here that AccuWeather brings between not having the best technology, the best foundational data, but then the best meteorological expertise, and we bring that together to arrive at the proven most accurate forecast and most useful forecast that has the best decision-making value. That's what we're after every single day.
I don't know whether you, I was thinking about Superstorm Sandy, and I saw a presentation that was emphasized, everybody got the same warning, but maybe they didn't. But there's two banks. One had a row of like two bag high sandbags in front of their front door. Another one had a 5 foot perimeter around the entire building. That and what you do with that information is critically important. So,
It sure is. And Eric, that was a perfect example as well. We had many of our business customers in the eastern part of the country where we were able to provide 9 days of advance notice on the devastating flooding impacts. One customer told us it saved them $65 million.
Well, there you go. That'll pay the rent for a
There
while.
you go.
Yes. Well, Jonathan, this has been terrific. It's time for me to take a quick break for a message, and then folks stand by. We'll be back more talking about the weather.
Most organizations have access to incredibly powerful technologies, but struggle to use them to their full potential. Bent Ears team of experienced technology and operations professionals systematically help organizations get the most out of the technology they already own. You can find them at www.bentearsolutions.com.
And we are back. We're talking today with Jonathan Porter, Commercial Weather Forecasting, AccuWeather. And it's been a fascinating conversation for me so far. I hope you've enjoyed it also. And Jonathan, how about giving us a sense for the size and scope of your operations? And what areas of the globe do you cover? I mean, are you totally around the world? Do you use English language only? What's your global operations, as opposed to maybe just here in the United States?
Okay, that's a great question. And we, as we like to say, we're constantly providing that most accurate forecast, most useful forecast to people and businesses all over the world. We have a great scale of our forecast, both on the consumer side, reaching over 1.5 billion people each and every day with the AccuWeather forecast. And you asked a great question. It's fully localized into over 200 languages and dialects. So those details of the AccuWeather forecast, the worded output, everything about the descriptions of our weather is fully localized. So if a user in South Korea, for example, is accessing our forecast on the AccuWeather app and they're using their phone is set to Korean, while our system automatically renders that information in that local language. And of course, we work with governments all around the world, over 60 governments. In fact, AccuWeather has integrated the official public warnings from those countries into our products and services. So that helps governments around the world reach a much larger audience than they would be able to reach on their own with those official public weather warnings to help get information to people in harm's way. Shifting a little bit toward the business operations, that's an important aspect because we're looking obviously only not only to the United States and North America, but all around the world. And we have business customers all around the world that rely on our weather risk mitigation services, both our global hazards product, for example, where we're able to highlight many days in advance areas where there's going to be disruptive or severe weather concerns. But then also our pinpoint site-specific weather warnings, our SkyGuard services that we provide to businesses. We also provide that service globally as well, again, tuned to the specific operating locations and needs of our customers. So if you're a multinational business, think about this. If you're an emergency manager at or a business continuity expert at a multinational company, a multinational firm here in the United States with global operations, you might not, and it doesn't even have to be your own owned and operated facilities. They might be key locations for your supply chain that if there's a disruption or severe weather impact at those locations, it can start to have a significant business impact. We have the ability to provide that type of insight for you seamlessly across the world. And many, many times customers have informed us that that advance notice, if we identified the risk for a blizzard, for example, 6 or 7 days in advance at a key distribution center in Europe, for example, then our customer was able to recognize that shipments would not be coming out of that area, and they were able to dial and blend their supply chain a little bit differently so that they were able to, for example, pull more product out of South America where there wasn't going to be an impact. So companies have obviously, so the pandemic has identified supply chain risk in a very significant and brought in a significant manner and brought that to the forefront. And of course, we've been helping businesses do that for decades, and we've seen an increased awareness and smart to be thinking about this from a business perspective about how you can be more proactive and not reactive in terms of dealing with severe weather events. And it just goes back to one of our key themes, which is how businesses and every organization, governments too, can be more resilient to severe weather. And that's knowing what's going to happen, having a plan in place in order to use that actionable insight to make the very best decisions. And so that continuous coverage can be provided by AccuWeather for Business across the world. And that's proven to be so helpful for many, many companies.
Right. And earlier I mentioned we were going to talk about warning. And I know the National Weather Service is doing a reassessment of warning language of watches and warnings and that. What's the language you use at AccuWeather for warnings? And then how do you approach this task of getting people to take action on whatever warning that you're providing?
Well, that's a very critical piece of the entire communication framework, because getting, first of all, you always have to get the warning to the right decision makers so that they can take action. And so we'll dive into that. Let's talk about it from the business perspective, first of all. And that's where that collaboration between AccuWeather's experts on severe weather warnings and communication is really key with each of our customers. We speak the language of our customers, and we plug our superior warnings into their communication process. And oftentimes, we evolve the communication process together so that it can have the maximum impact in terms of saving lives and helping make sure that each of their locations are best prepared and that the decision makers have that information quickly. One example of that is that, of course, AccuWeather for Business, we have a very popular specialized web portal that our business customers, our business and government customers use. Also, a specific mobile app that we have developed that we push those severe weather warnings right down to the facility level to the key decision makers who need to take action. But we take it a step further. We also have a special feature, an exclusive feature that enables our customers to put in their standard operating procedures right into our warning template. So as a security guard, for example, think about if you're a security guard at a manufacturing plant who's responsible for 24/7 activating that site's severe weather action plan. That might be somebody who's responsible, a safety and security person that's responsible for 10,000 people at that particular facility and acting and engaging that severe weather process. They receive not only that we're issuing a warning for that specific location, but then whatever our customer has specified about how they should react to that particular warning. So, of course, it's very important that staff members have that training about how they're going to react to that. And that training is repeated early and often, as we say. But then when the emergency happens, our customers can, if they want, also embed that safety response right in our warning. So it's a key message, a key action for them in order to be able to identify what actions need to be taken. And of course, that can be customized by the job role of the person that's receiving that notification. So that's one aspect that's very important. Of course, the other aspect of it is making sure the information gets to that decision maker at a local level, the person who's going to take action as quickly as possible. So we have many with our relationships with many organizations. Not only do we provide it to, for example, those warnings to the corporate emergency operations center, security operations center, if they have that, but also right to the people at the facility level who are going to be able to take that warning and within seconds take the actions that are needed to bring people to safe shelter and to take other preparations that may be required. The other thing I would mention about it is that we customize that completely around a customer's operating strategy. So that might be a store by store level for our big retail customers. It might be a section of a utility network for a big utility that we work with. It might be a specific hospital for a large medical system that we work with. So it's a very flexible and adaptable warning communication system that we've dealt with, that we've developed because we work with and partner with so many different companies that all approach severe weather in a different way. And so it's really that partnership that allows the best outcomes to occur. And that's something that we partner very directly with our customers on. The final piece I would mention is many of your listeners may also utilize mass notification systems. And mass notification systems play a very important role in getting information to stakeholders very quickly. AccuWeather interfaces with many of the mass notification systems, and we partner with our customers in order to be able to oftentimes when we issue, for example, if we issue a tornado warning or flash flood warning for a specific asset, we can work with our customers so that triggers automatically a certain template in their mass notification system that describes the threat and the hazard and then also the safety information that's been provided by that company. So we can automate that process based on our warning. One customer, Eric, told me that prior to integrating the AccuWeather solution, it would take them 10 to 15 minutes to manually type up such a warning. That may not be enough time to get that out, obviously, when every second counts. Now, following the AccuWeather integration, we issue that warning for those specific locations. That message is delivered in 6 seconds automatically.
Okay. Well, listening to you talk there, I appreciate the fact that a lot of times you have multinational companies, they have a very sophisticated operations center and perhaps an old way of doing this. That's the point of interface where they decide what then is being passed down. But the fact you can do that instantaneously right down to, if you will, boots on the ground that need the warning, I think is a great asset. All this customization, makes me wonder how, okay, I'm a new customer and I want to, you know, have this customized. Do you have a team of people that work with the individual customer then to tailor the product and whatever their procedures are? Is it a partnership or is it done by AccuWeather for the company or potentially even government?
That is a great point. We have a dedicated team that's called our technical implementation team, combination of meteorologists and also team members with emergency management background and also a technical background that help to customize and tune our services exactly to the needs of our customers. So that is a very collaborative process. And it's not a one size fits all strategy. That's where really special configuration and tuning is so important. And what I've seen so many times is that we'll iterate that with our customer over time so that we're integrating the best ideas, best practices, Things that we've learned from weather experiences that have happened maybe in different parts of the country, different experiences that AccuWeather or our customer can bring to the table, and we'll make refinements about how that system works. And so, yes, that's a very collaborative process, and it's built around the trust and the partnership that we have with our customers. And I should mention too, another very important part of our service is this is not just a one-way push of information. This is a partnership. And the collaboration that occurs not only with our technical implementation team that you were talking about, but also with our meteorologists. We have a consulting aspect of our service. So our customers can contact our meteorologists, our expert meteorologists, any time of the day or night that they have a weather question. If we issue a warning or another forecast product, they want some more information, or oftentimes if they're facing a critical weather decision that they want to talk through to get some additional information or additional context from us, they just pick up the phone and call us. And our customers have told us that they like to think of that as calling weather 911, because just like a 911 center, we pick it up one, two, or at most three rings, right? We know exactly what that customer is going to be talking about because we're monitoring the specific locations that they're operating at. And we understand what kinds of threats and decisions they may need to make. And so many times customers tell me that they so much value that aspect of the service, talking to our meteorologist, because we don't get into meteorological mumbo jumbo, as I call it. We give the information about what impacts we're expecting, what the range of possibilities are, and other things to be considering, all the information that we know is going to be helpful for making that decision. And that's really what we're tuned around and providing. And so many times customers have lauded us for that aspect of the service because they know they've built personal connections with our team of over 100 expert meteorologists. And they've told us that they can sometimes even, they even get information about the tone of our voice and how we're framing a particular weather situation. So that gives you a sense of the trust and the true personal relationships that are involved in those partnerships with our customers and how critical we are to providing that most valuable information so they can make the best decisions.
Well, when you said mumbo jumbo, you made me think about space weather warnings. So are you guys, and I'm sure you're familiar a little bit with the terminology they have. It's just off the charts and hard to understand what they're forecasting. But are you guys into space weather also?
Or? Yeah, we do. We do provide some additional services within the realm of looking at some of these adjacent natural hazards. Space weather, we certainly can provide tsunami warnings, detailed earthquake notifications for our customers. Certainly, air pollution has been a big item here in recent years. AccuWeather, about a year and a half ago, acquired Plume Labs, which is the world's leader in current air quality and air quality forecasts. And we fully integrated the Plume's lab air quality current condition and forecast content within all of AccuWeather's forecasts. So we provide that all hazards approach so that customers from any kind of environmental risk and environmental threat that they may face, we can work with them on understanding what their risk level is and the products and services that we can provide that can be helpful to them. And of course, Eric, too, another one that's been very critically important, wildfires.
Yeah, smoke. Smoke.
Smoke as well. So whatever the natural threat is, natural hazard threat, we work with our customers to understand what their risk level is at each location and then how we can be of assistance to them in mitigating that risk as best as possible.
Okay. All right. This has been terrific. You know, getting near the end now, but weather forecasting and the science of climate change are not the same thing. What are you doing to factor in climate change, if at all, with your weather forecasting?
Well, that's a very important point. And the atmosphere, no doubt the atmosphere has been changing very significantly. And that warming that has been observed has many different impacts to weather. So we bake that consideration into our forecast. So our customers are receiving the benefit of that consideration automatically. And many times, you know, we understand what different types of extreme weather events are going to be perhaps amplified by climate change. Take a look at extreme heat, for example, in your part of the country, in the North Pacific Northwest, with that significant heat wave in recent years, the yeah. deadly heat wave.
We called it the heat dome.
The yeah. heat dome, right? The and one thing that I like to talk about is the climate change amplifier that AccuWeather meteorologists baked into our forecast to enable those record, all-time record-setting temperatures, right? The those levels that were achieved in Seattle and Portland, not achievable to that degree, in my estimation, without the impact of climate change. So we bake that into our forecast. So it's not something that our customers need to worry about separately, for example. It's certainly a consideration in various types of severe weather events. And by the way, I should mention, not every severe weather event has a direct climate change aspect to it. And so we've developed lots of expertise around which types of events do and how that amplification might occur that we use in order to be able to produce the most accurate forecast for our customers. The other thing I would mention around climate change is that's also a risk that businesses need to consider. And AccuWeather has launched a series of AccuClimate forecast services so that businesses can subscribe to risk mitigation forecasts where we're looking at 5, 10, 20, 50 years out. What are the change in the number of days, for example, that may be over, may feature extreme heat in a particular location? What's the change in snowfall? What are the changes expected in extreme rainfall events? What are the changes in severe weather threats that are expected? And businesses increasingly are needing that not only from a compliance perspective, but they want to be informed, and they rightly should. If you're an executive at a business, why would you want to build a whole new key distribution center in a location that is going to be susceptible to more frequent flooding on blue sky days as a result of increased flooding, as a result of sea level rise? So businesses are confronting, it just goes back to what you mentioned at the beginning. Businesses are confronting weather risks in the short term and also in the very long term. And it's all important from a planning and risk mitigation perspective.
Well, again, Jonathan, your passion and your knowledge shine through this completely. So any final thoughts you'd like to share with our listening audience on anything we've talked about or perhaps you didn't have a chance to cover?
Well, I've enjoyed our wide-ranging discussion here today. Always fun to talk with people who are passionate about business continuity and emergency management. I guess one lasting thing that I would leave is that too often I've seen people think that all weather sources are equal, and that is just not the case. As we've talked about here today, with our ability to have that proven superior accuracy, that greater localization, greater customization around the needs of our customers, and providing more advanced notice, it's so important as our climate continues to change, we know what we're going to be facing with. We're going to be dealing with more of what we've had, which is increasing frequency and impact of severe weather events. And I just urge your listeners that having a plan, knowing your risks at each and every place that you operate, in each and every community, is so important. Thinking about how that threat profile might change as a result of climate change, having an emergency response procedure for each of those threats that you use our best-in-class weather warnings to activate based upon that established plan, and the criticality of those that communication, thinking about how you're going to frame the information to your stakeholders, whether that be the general public or it also be other business leaders or business operational teams in various parts of a corporate ecosystem, for example, that information and providing it in a way that's consumable and actionable by people quickly. I've just seen time and time again, when you have a plan, and it doesn't take a lot. Sometimes I think, I say this on the AccuWeather Network all the time when I'm talking to inspiring people to have a plan for severe weather risk mitigation in their own families. It doesn't take a lot, but it's like my mom always says, if you have a plan, it goes a long way, because then when you have an emergency, you're not scrambling to think about that plan. And obviously that's so key for your emergency management listeners, but I think that's important that we stress that in every organization that we talk to. And that's just going to be even more important as these severe weather impacts continue to accumulate in the coming years and disasters happen in places and times of the year that people who are unprepared are not expecting them. So I look forward to working together with the emergency management community even closer going forward so that we can help keep businesses and people safer and more resilient.
Well, well said. And I just want to say thank you to Jonathan Porter for being the guest here on the Disaster Zone podcast.
Eric, great to be with you today. Thanks for the invitation and so important topic. Thanks again.
Yeah. And I appreciate Jonathan's last message about having a plan. A lot of times plans don't work out the way you intended, but you have to have a basis, a bottom line, a foundation of which to respond from, and then have that socialized with everybody who needs to be involved with that planning effort, whether it's just the immediate family or your business or your government. That makes it much more capable and adaptable to whatever situation you meet. So well said there also. And now a reminder to everyone to be safe. Think about what you can do today to become personally better prepared for the next disaster. If you like this Disaster Zone podcast, please share a link to it with your social media contacts. Thanks for listening and be safe.
Tune in again soon for more information on all aspects of disasters. You can also check out the Disaster Zone blog at www.disaster-zone.com.